Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, July 16th. Hard to believe this month is half over already. On today's episode of the Roundup, we're going to talk about President Biden's new executive order on promoting competition in the American economy. Specifically, we're going to talk about how that order could affect competition in healthcare, which, in my humble opinion, has been sorely lacking for years. To tell us which segments of the healthcare market could be affected most by the order and why, are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
Well, first, Dave, there's nothing humble about your opinion. Want to get that on the record. And second, I'm a bit worried about Jeff Bezos now that Richard Branson has beat him into space and he doesn't have Amazon to run anymore. Bezos is supposed to fly a bit higher than Branson in his flight next week. So at least he's got that going for him. Also makes me wonder what Elon Musk is thinking. The billionaire space race is on.
It is pretty crazy. Julie, how about you? How are you doing?
Well, I'm just fine after our big move. I've been looking for Bezos and Bill Gates in Seattle, but haven't found them yet. But the weather's been treating me well. The community is quite inviting, so all good.
That's great. Yeah, we'll have to do some stargazing and see if we see them fly by later.
I would love to think that when they land, you could say, well, what's been going on the last 30 years since you left?
Oh, that's great. I love it. Really mess with them. Mm-hmm. All right. Before we talk about Biden's executive order and healthcare competition, give me an example of how competition or the lack of it affected your use of a medical service. Dave, any good personal healthcare competition stories you're willing to share?
Oh, so many. A few years ago, my wife, Terry, was going through treatments at an academic medical center and needed a PET scan. The nurse in charge told her she'd have to wait a month, which we didn't want to do. So I asked if she could get one at another location. Oh, no, no. Even though there are imaging centers all over Chicago, the nurse strongly recommended against that since it would compromise the quality of the scan. I knew that was nonsense, but accepted the answer because we didn't want to annoy Terry's physician. But you can tell it still annoys me. The motto of this medical center happens to be patients first. Yeah, right.
That's a good story. Thanks, Dave. Julie, how about you? Have you ever been the victim or beneficiary of healthcare competition?
I certainly don't think I've been the beneficiary yet. Maybe. But, you know, for me, it's really about my pocketbook now on an HSA and high deductible. And when I had a mammogram recently at Sutter Health in California, and I looked at how much of that it ate up, it's enormous compared to what you can get at other systems or certainly at some of the newer providers. So I can assure you for my new provider up here in Seattle, I'll be looking at some cost benefit with competition.
Yeah, I think the word Sutter's become synonymous with anti-competitive behavior.
Monopoly. Right?
For me, it was shopping around for a tetanus shot last July. I know I told this story before, but I had a choice of going to the ER, waiting to schedule an appointment with my primary care doc, or going to my local retail pharmacy. So I went to the pharmacy, and I was in and out in less than 20 minutes for $48 and no lockjaw. And I got a coupon for 20% off my next grocery bill. So I thought that was a pretty good deal. So viva la competition. All right, let's talk about what Biden did and how it could affect healthcare markets. Dave, let's set the table with what the order said generally about consolidation and competition in healthcare and how those dynamics affect healthcare consumers.
Lockjaw, Dave, still makes me shiver. Onto the Biden executive order, which was very expansive with the goal of promoting competition broadly throughout the U.S. economy, specifically focused on reducing prices on goods and services, increasing workers' wages, stimulating economic growth, and fostering innovation. Big Joe is standing up for the little guys. Good for him. The executive order comes out at a time of increasing industry consolidation broadly, lower rates of new business formation broadly, and more restrictions placed on workers looking to change jobs. In making the announcement, Biden cited research that found higher prices and lower wages caused by anti-competitive behaviors cost the average American family $5,000 a year. That's not peanuts. The executive order had several specific actions designed to drive down prices of specific items such as prescription drugs, hearing aids, airplane flights, and internet fees, as well as steps to limit non-compete contracts, facilitate switching banks, and promoting small business formation. Importantly, the order also targeted healthcare, transportation, agriculture, tech, and financial services for increased antitrust enforcement. Not surprising at all that healthcare gets a lot of attention in the executive order. Within healthcare's massive $4 trillion ecosystem, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of micro markets where providers, payers, and suppliers enjoy either monopoly or monopsony pricing power. Everybody in the sector, it seems, is feeding at the trough. Economists estimate that the healthcare waste in the form of excessive prices, unnecessary care, and administrative friction costs the U.S. economy over $1 trillion a year. That's a massive number. It's roughly the equivalent of Mexico's GDP. A human being would need to live 32,000 years to live a trillion seconds. That's how much we're talking about.
Got it, Dave. Thanks. Julie, what specific markets within healthcare does the order target and why?
Well, as Dave talked about, pretty much every player in healthcare is in the middle of consolidating or using some sort of competitive advantage in a way that increases prices for consumers. So every sector, hospitals, health plans, and drug manufacturers are effectively being impacted by this executive order. We talked about hospital consolidation earlier this year, specifically about how it's left rural communities without good options for convenient and affordable healthcare, especially during COVID, seeing 19 hospitals closed during COVID. And research shows that in consolidated markets like this, there are far higher prices for consumers. So it's exactly what Biden's trying to work against. I saw a stat that the 10 largest health systems now control 1/4 of the market. So we're certainly, if economists are right, heading towards higher prices there. The health plans were an interesting one, mostly because this is about choice. And I think choice is very dependent upon the market you're in. But the reality is that consumers have a hard time really understanding the choices they even have if they have them. So for health plans, while it's partially about consolidation and that effect on prices, it's certainly about the ability to be able to compare apples to apples across health plans on the exchange. So that's a great one. And finally, with drug manufacturers, you know, we've been talking about drug pricing for longer than I've been alive, I think. Lack of competition is not the only reason, but it's a big one. You know, the largest pharmaceutical companies wield their power in big ways. They apparently, researcher noted, can generate annual profits of up to 15 to 20%. And that's compared to 4 to 9% for the largest non-drug companies. So to be clear, pharma companies are generating far greater profits than your typical company of their size. It's not in the drug business. So one strategy that drug manufacturers have used to avoid competing is a pay-for-delay agreements, in which brand-name drug manufacturers are effectively paying generic manufacturers to stay out of the market. And that's raised drug prices by $3.5 billion per year, which is significant. So we all know there's a lot going on in drug pricing, and Biden's trying to use his executive order to really unwind some of that.
Got it. Thanks, Julie. Dave, anything to add to Julie's comments?
Well, it's been a tough week for pharma. In addition to the executive order, the Democrats announced the framework for their second infrastructure bill. It includes provisions to give Medicare the ability to negotiate drug prices. That's been a huge priority for Democrats for a long time, and pharma's been able to fight it off. Estimates are that this provision will generate in excess of $600 billion to pay for their $3.5 trillion plan. These are big numbers. There was a great quote from Elizabeth Warren. She said, "It's time that the pharmaceutical industry realizes the federal government is not a cow to be milked." Them's fighting words. All eyes are now on New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, who has carried Big Pharma's water before, and he's a Democrat. So we'll see whether he breaks under the pressure and actually goes for pro-market reform.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's talk about what the order says we should do to fix things, specifically in the hospital, health insurance, and drug markets. Julie, how do we make the hospital market work better for consumers? Do you agree or disagree with what the order recommends?
Well, the executive order does two things. First, of course, Biden underscores the fact that the mergers can be harmful to patients. We get that. But he encourages the Justice Department and the FTC to review and revise their merger guidelines to ensure that patients are not harmed by such mergers. Okay, got that. That's really about anti-competitive behavior. The second is it directs HHS to support existing hospital price transparency rules and to finish implementing bipartisan federal legislation to address surprise hospital billing. So when I look to these two, you know, the first point is obviously important, but my concern is that the FTC will over-index on antitrust when there can be incredible leverage and hence a lot of cost efficiencies in the scaled companies through these mergers, and frankly, improve quality of care when you can actually get the expertise into rural communities from these larger systems through these kinds of relationships. Of course, some of that can be achieved through partnerships, and I think we're seeing M&A skew a little bit more towards partnerships right now than we are towards all-out acquisition and rollout. But perhaps that's for another discussion. So I personally like the second part of the order, which is largely about transparency. And unfortunately, transparency has not infected consumers in the way that most of us would have hoped. But I do think it's starting to happen, especially among gig economy workers and savvy millennials. So with legislation around surprise billing, you know, consumers get a better understanding of what they're actually being billed for. It's more logical. And the transparency rules can enable a more apples to apples kind of comparison shopping. And the two together really can bolster a true consumer market. And when I look at what health systems are going through, yes, it's perfectly logical to roll up and merge. But at the end of the day, we all know that some of the largest systems are absolutely using their pricing power with health plans today. And if consumerism actually takes hold, they're going to get hurt. They're going to have to drop their prices because consumers want it versus what their plan negotiations are. So to me, we're just in the middle of a very big wave of how the economics and the landscape is shaping with innovation.
Got it. Right. We need to push transparency and consumerism. Thanks, Julie. Dave, how do we make the health insurance and drug markets work better for consumers? And do you agree or disagree with what the order recommends?
The U.S. economy is riddled with industrial complexes, from education to energy to the military to prisons to financial services. They're all over the place. And the Biden executive order is attempting to attack them broadly. And of course, healthcare is the big megilla of industrial complexes. These complexes occur when industry, government agencies, and Congress work for their own benefit at the expense of American society overall. The FDA's approval of Biogen's Aduhelm is an example of Big Pharma's industrial complex at work. It's a crappy drug that should never have been approved, but it was, and it will unnecessarily cost Medicare billions of dollars each year. The way to fight industrial complexes is by fostering competition through pro-market as opposed to pro-business regulatory actions and enforcement. I give the Biden administration high marks for tackling the megilla in the room, and specifically health insurance and pharma. The way to improve competition in health insurance, and Julie alluded to this earlier, is to increase the number of plans from which consumers can choose and make it easier for them to compare, contrast, and select the plan that works for them. The executive order does this on federally run exchanges, and that will improve choice for consumers. Still a long way to go, though. But as tough a foe as big insurance is, big pharma is even tougher. They use their regulatory and marketing muscle to gain approval for branded drugs and then price the hell out of them. It creates massive market failure. I really like that the executive order tightens up the rules for pay for delay that Julie mentioned earlier, so they can't buy out generic alternatives and keep their branded drug alive longer. It also tightens up rules for extending patent life generally on drugs. Big Pharma has become expert on tweaking drug formularies to extend their patent lives and the big profits that come with doing that. The order makes that more difficult to do, and that's a very good thing. Just to finish up, Foresight Health's motto is outcomes matter, customers count, value rules. You hear it from us all the time. So we're for pro-market policies wherever and whenever they manifest. I liked it when the Trump administration took on the healthcare industrial complex, and I like it now with the Biden administration doing the same thing.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. Julie, anything to add to Dave's comments?
Well, just two things. I saw one consultant, Ian Spatz, from my former firm, Manat, who talked about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of what's in the executive order, certainly on the drug manufacturer, drug pricing side, is already been in the works. So this executive order is kind of formalizing a lot of action that's been happening in DC. And I think that's really a statement about what this executive order represents, which is, I think, really the beginning of what's likely to be a multi-year effort in reshaping how the government approaches regulating competition and everything that has to do with market power and antitrust enforcement. It might be a long time before we actually see real action implemented, but the policy direction is pretty clear. And healthcare, you know, certainly is one of the big industries that I think could be affected by this.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. Yes, I think it will be a long uphill fight, but definitely a worthy cause. Thanks to both of you. Now, as always on the roundup, let's talk about next week. Julie, what should we be watching for next week?
Well, it's hard to ignore the politicization around the vaccine and how it's just getting worse and worse with the few states that are seeing the biggest issues with the variants, and whether they have a Republican governor and where they sat on Trump's politics. So I'm appreciating, frankly, some of the news that's coming out around this about people outside of government who are reaching across aisles to really try to get people vaccinated. Yesterday, Olivia Rodrigo was at the White House sending her message to the young people of America. Andy Slavitt had an amazing podcast with Frank Luntz, of all people, and talking about how he engaged Frank to really understand and get to Republicans who were against the vaccine. So I just see, you know, the next few weeks, we're going to see nothing but discussion about this.
Yeah, I think what happened in Tennessee was a real head scratcher. Thanks, Julie. Dave, what's the big healthcare story next week?
Well, the FDA continues to get heat for their approval of Aduhelm. In response, they announced they will impose stricter use guidelines. But that hasn't silenced the criticism. Acting Administrator Janet Woodcock wants to move on, but she hasn't been able to. So I'm really hoping for more fireworks on this front next week.
Yeah, I think I read a few big health systems aren't going to administer it, and a few big health insurance companies aren't going to pay for it. In that regard, the market's speaking. So,
yeah, she agreed to an interview with Axios and got skewered during it for the decision and stormed off at the end saying she thought it was a put up. It almost sounds like Nixon, you know, at the height of Watergate. So we'll see. Hopefully, I mean, maybe the government will reverse itself on this one. You never know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. Okay, that is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You also can find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on the Healthcare Now Radio Network, iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.